We were talking about penetrating the kingdom of darkness. Amen? I think there was one Sunday or something. Cool. Well, as I was seeking the Lord this evening, he brought me to penetrating the darkness too. And there are some things that we need to understand a little bit more. Before penetrating the darkness, now we talked about the areas of penetrating the darkness was with the cloak of humility where you're unseen. And the area where God is trying to get us into a place where it says, the Bible says that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous, because one of the areas of the kingdom of darkness is they got too much finances. Does everybody understand that? And because they have too much finances, they're doing too much damage. Amen? And as they begin to lose the finances, if you think about it, I mean, Satan's main throne room is what they call in the area of Babylon where all the oil is, isn't it? So we know that the god of this world is money. And people will do anything for cash, won't they? I mean, they've got ridiculous things on TV now, if you think about it. For this amount of money, we'll dare you to do this. I mean, people make idiots out of themselves for money. You know, but it's time to become an idiot for Jesus. Amen? It's what they call foolishness. Amen? Get undignified. That song that we've seen is being undignified. I mean, David danced before the Lord in his underwear. Praise God, we're going to dance before the Lord with our clothes on. It's all we need. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, we live in a cul-de-sac, and one day was printed cul-de-sac. Oh, man, we never heard the end of that. You know, people call you a cult because you praise and worship God. It's amazing, isn't it? But yet they don't read the Bible and know the truth. Hallelujah. So would you turn to 2 Corinthians 4, please? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And if you need a Bible, share your neighbors. 2 Corinthians 4. Penetrating the kingdom of darkness. Part 2. How many of y'all want to penetrate the kingdom of darkness and kick butt on the devil? Amen. And steal. Look at all the things he's stolen from us. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Remember the Bible says that the devil comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to bring us life and life abundantly. And that's what God wants to get us to. That life abundantly where you're not living week by week. Amen. But where you're living abundantly. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. Would you read it with me? Therefore what? We do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet that inward man is being what? Renewed day by day. Praise God, you're being renewed today. Amen? For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is what? Working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are what? Would you say that with me? While we do not look at the what? Things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. The first thing that we must do is have a constant awareness of the unseen world. If you do not have a constant awareness of the unseen world, you'll always be taken out in deception. You'll never be able to penetrate the kingdom of darkness because you'll be exposed every time. Does everybody understand it? We must have a constant awareness. Do you know that there's angels all around here? Do you know that each and every one of you that's walking with Christ and walking upright with Christ has a legion of angels on your side? Amen. Do you know that one angel can kill 185,000 humans? So what you worried about? Amen? So if you got a legion of angels, that's over 2,000 angels. And what are they doing? They're working on your behalf, trying to get you the job, trying to get you this, trying to wooing this person, doing this. Do you understand that? And the whole thing is, as long as you stay in the Spirit and walking according to the guidelines from the kingdom of God, you're going to meet everything that you need. It will always be waiting. The problem is the devil sees these things happening and he tries to move you off course, and the angels are working on your behalf, just got this whole thing set up, but you became anxious and moved. Amen? You got deceived and went to something else. And the voice of the stranger said, man, well, you know, it's greener on the other side. And you go to the other side. And you went, whoa, it's not greener. Man, it's fixed. It's dirty. And then you try to get back to the other side, but you already missed God. Hello? See, so there must be a constant awareness of the unseen world, because that's the reality. If you're so caught up in everything that you see, that you smell, that you taste, that you feel, you're deceived. Because it has nothing to do with it. Do you understand? You cannot no longer rely on the things that are tangible, because it's called as temporary. That's why people, they're concerned and they rely on their bank account. They're more concerned about a retirement plan. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? You know, best retirement plan you can do is give to the kingdom of God. Amen? Now, God wants us to use wisdom and so forth, right? But people won't tithe because they're so concerned about their, what is it, IRA or, I don't even know what it is. 401k, U2K, whatever K. Amen? You kidding? If I give tithes in the kingdom of God, then what about my retirement? You bonehead, that is your retirement. That's your retirement, man. Hey, it's got the greatest retirement plan there ever was. Amen? What benefits? It's eternal life. Oh, hallelujah. So we must have a constant awareness of the unseen world and a constant reality of the presence of light and the presence of darkness. Does everybody understand that? See, we must have a constant, not only awareness of the unseen world and the presence of God and the presence of the enemy, but we must have a constant awareness of the offensive strategies. Are you with me? And the defensive tactics of the enemy and of your king. Does everybody understand that? In other words, not only you must have awareness of the unseen world, but you must have a constant awareness of what God wants you to do and what your enemy's doing. Because if you don't, you'll be deceived. You know what anxiousness is? It's a spirit. He just comes right up to you and says, hey, let's go. Hurry up. What? Yeah. I got to go. Where are you going? I don't know, but I got to go. I got to go somewhere. That's called anxiousness. And what he does is just moves you right out of place. Amen? The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. But all things what? Prayer and supplication. And the peace of God will guide your heart, your mind. Amen? See, when you lose peace, you stepped out of presence. Because the peace of God is always there. See, we must be able to discern and have a constant awareness of the presence of light, where there's peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost, and the presence of evil. Now, it doesn't mean that you're going to feel evil. I'm not talking about a feeling. I'm saying that you must have an awareness. Does everybody understand that? Because too many people go by how they feel, and they get misled. You must have an awareness of it. That means a conscious effort of like, wait a minute. Who told me that? Wait a minute. Why is that person reacting the way they're reacting? Hello? Do you understand? See, because we're not supposed to be looking at each other. We're supposed to be looking what's motivating each other. Does everybody get? I mean, this is, listen, if you don't get this, you will not learn how to penetrate the kingdom of darkness and destroy his works. Because you'll be too busy trying to fight your own little battles, because he's always penetrating you. Amen. 1 Corinthians 2. Are you all right? Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. Would you read it with me? In verse, what did I say, 12? Now we have not received the spirit of the world. What's the spirit of the world? Spirit of Antichrist, right? Now it doesn't, you know, people think, oh my God, the Antichrist. No, the spirit of Antichrist is any spirit associated with the kingdom of darkness that is against the move of the spirit. Does everybody get it? It's a deceiving spirit. It's a spirit of error. It comes against Christ. Christ means anointed one, which comes against the presence of God. He don't mind if you get religious. He just don't want you to be free. Hallelujah. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us. That we might know the things that have been freely given to us. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the what? Holy Spirit teaches what? Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. See, that's what's going to help you be aware. You compare spiritual things. Okay, this is dark. This is light. This is evil. This is righteousness. Amen? But the natural man, the carnal man, the religious man, hello, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are what? Foolishness to him. For they are what? Foolishness to him. So if you all thought we were foolish by dancing around here, it's because your mind is carnal. We are foolish, but we're foolish for Jesus. Do you know that when you were dancing around here, you're doing warfare? You know the Bible says that the devil looks for what? Dry places to go to? So if you had a demon on you, and you were sitting there, guess where he went? Hello? Well, if he came off of you, he had to go somewhere. And if you're sitting there wide open, say hello, and you got one of those signs on it says open, he's going somewhere. Amen. Y'all get it? Why? Because you can't put something in that's already filled. So if you're filled with the Spirit of God, he can't come in. And he looks for a legal right to come in you. Don't be offended. By not worshiping the Lord, according to the word of God, the devil goes before God and says, listen, he's disobedient. She's disobedient. Do you understand? He's a legalist. The powers of darkness are legalists. They're high-paid attorneys. But you got the greatest attorney who's always fighting on your behalf. And when he's saying to you, come on, bam, elbows you once in a while, says, come on, get up and dance. I ain't doing that. I'm not doing all that stuff. What, you crazy? No way. I can't do that stuff. And inside you're going, yeah. I mean, you really want to, but you know, you're afraid what somebody might think. And because you're afraid, that spirit's talking to you. Yeah, I'm a demon of fear. Come on, let's do some dancing. He wants to dance inside of you. Hello? Does everybody get it? See, disobedience is rebellion. Rebellion is witchcraft. Why? Because who told you that? Wait a minute. You mean, see, this? Are we going deeper beyond what you see here now? There's another veil that's beyond here. See, this is where you don't look in the natural. You begin to look in the spirit. You begin to look in the spirit. You begin to walk in the spirit. It's not about religion. It's about a relationship. Who's the ruler of this earth? Satan. Who owns it? My dad. And your dad. But his lease is almost up. Hello? Oh, praise God. Where were we? Thank you. 14 and 2 Corinthians. Okay. But the natural man, hallelujah, does not receive the things of the Spirit, for they are what? Foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are what? Spiritually discerned. Well, if he can't know what to do, hello? According to the Word of God, how's he going to discern anything else? You know, I remember when I went home one day and after I gotten saved, and I led my parents to the Lord after my encounter with the Lord. They were like, yeah, great, okay, and they accepted Jesus. But they had no idea. They couldn't discern the things. Don't give me all your money to the church now. What? Don't give all your money to the church, you know. See, they didn't know. They didn't know I didn't have any money. I mean, And whatever money I had, I gave anyways. When I get my $20 a week allowance from my wife, you know. Praise God. But it says, they must be what? Spiritually discerned. If you cannot discern spiritually what's affecting you, how can you discern spiritually what's affecting somebody else? And how are you going to be able to penetrate the kingdom of darkness when you're too busy trying to fight off your own garbage? Hello? Oh, hallelujah. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the what? Mind of Christ. Spiritual discernment obtained by the mind of Christ, which causes us to walk in the Spirit. It helps prevent, are you with me, from darkness from penetrating you. The Bible says make no place for the devil. You know what the Bible says also, that when a demon comes out of an individual, it tries to come back, doesn't it? And it brings seven more with it. That's why usually when somebody falls, they go bad. They go hard. After they've been cleaned up, they go bad and go hard. So it's our responsibility to prevent from the powers of darkness from entering us. So, in other words, if you're so busy trying to do your clean and fight all the stuff, you haven't got time to penetrate the powers of darkness. Amen? Remember, Satan's greatest weapon is what? Deception. Deception. And his power is what? Fear. So his deception, is to blind us from the awareness that he's there. His deception is to blind us from the awareness that there is a spiritual world. You know, I mean, we don't go around all day thinking, oh my God, I'm going to die one day. No. I hope not. If you do, you got a spirit of oppression, and come on up here, and we want to cast it out. Amen? But in fact, the only time we really think about things to that degree is when we see a funeral and stuff like that, or we see sickness and disease, and we begin to think about, there's another realm. Amen? But see, if you're walking in the Spirit, it's not about the fear of death, it's about there's a reality that all of this is going to go away, and the reality is what you don't see. That is true reality to a believer. That there is another realm that the carnal mind can't see. Think about all the things we used to do. I mean, don't go too far. Think about all the things you used to do. Okay, think about a couple things you used to do that weren't right before God, okay? we'd be here all night. But just, when we did them, we get convicted afterwards. Oh, man, I shouldn't have done that, and there were some times when you thought, oh, somebody's watching me. They were writing it all down in the book of remembrance. Amen? Besides the demons, they were watching you too. Oh, they were in you though. They weren't, It's important that the powers of darkness be detected and exposed. It is essential for a believer's life that he can detect and expose it. Does everybody understand that? It is important for us to have victory in every battle. So that the powers of darkness are what? Detected and exposed. That's why we do deliverance. It's essential for a believer's life. Because if you can't discern or detect what's hindering you, you won't be able to expose it, will you? And you'll be too busy trying to keep yourself instead of doing the thing of or the will of God. 1 Peter 5. We're still on the first thing. Must have a constant awareness of the unseen world. You better know who you're talking to. Not every one of your thoughts is the voice of God. You know God don't talk that way. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse something. 6. Is everybody there? It's good to hear the pages. Turn it on a Tuesday night. If you turn them fast enough, you'll fan your neighbor. Therefore what? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may what? Exalt you in due season. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because you're what? Your adversary, the devil, is walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. Wow. He's walking around what? Undetected, isn't he? But see, it goes back to, he says, listen, therefore what? Humble yourself with the cloak of humility. When we talked about the cloak of humility makes you invisible to the powers of darkness. That's how you get in there. You got to be. How did Jesus come? Think about how Jesus came. He came as a what? Humble servant. Look at how many times they tried to kill him. And he was able to get out. In fact, they expected him to come like everybody else, didn't they? You know, like, well, they expected him to come with, you know, tanks, you know, machine guns to kick butt on the Roman Empire. But he came as a humble servant. In fact, he wasn't even detected by the powers of darkness. Amen? Because if the devil had really known who he was crucifying, he wouldn't have done it. Why? Because Jesus penetrated the kingdom of darkness. In fact, he went to hell for me and you, took back the keys of death, hell, and the grave, came back up and said, here's the keys of the kingdom. Now you bind, and you loose, and you kick butt, and I'll give you all authority. Now it's up to you. Why? Because he already penetrated the kingdom of darkness. Now it's our responsibility to keep that penetration of darkness and put them in their place. No weenies in the body of Christ. Amen? No whims. Power, authority, and dominion. Praise God. Your protection for defense is humbleness. Cloak of humility. Kingdom of darkness is not stupid. There's a time to be seen and there's a time not to be seen. Does everybody understand that? Amen? Listen, go to verse 9, please. Would you read it with me? Resist him where? Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Now, I'm going to share this with you. I'm going to share with you there's a time to be seen and a time not to be seen. The Bible says, resist the devil in the faith. Faith is spiritual, not physical. Does everybody get it? Faith is what? Spiritual, not physical. The second thing that we must maintain is a level of faith. The first thing that we must maintain is a constant awareness of the unseen world. The second thing we must do is maintain a level of faith. Why? Faith is sight to the unseen. Are you hearing that? Faith gives you sight to the unseen world. What the Bible say? Faith is what? Substance of things hoped for. And evidence of what? Things not seen. So faith is what's going to give you sight in the spirit realm. Let me give you an example. One day a sister of mine brought over a staff because I was going to be Moses for Halloween. So kids were going to come by. You know, usually we do this something with the church, whatever. And the Lord said, I want you to stay home. And I want you to be Moses. And when the kids come by, I want you to put stuff in their bag, which was scripture and all kinds of other stuff. And I want you to break the curses on them, apply the blood of Jesus on them, and pray for them. I said, okay. So my sister in Christ brings me this beautiful Moses staff. I mean, I'm telling you, it was excellent. And on the bottom, about 2 feet of it, was painted solid blue. So she left, and I laid the staff down, and I'm walking. And all of a sudden, this thing goes, whoo, whoo. I think, nah, imagination. No, but my faith said, don't take no chances. So I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you, come out of that staff and leave my house. I thought, am I in candy camera? Thinking, man, this can't be. No, but I got, okay. So I went back, I did something, I was going to go out and do something in the front lawn, and I walked by that staff again, it was still laying in the kitchen, and it went, whoo, again, and it moved on me, just like a snake. I thought, whoa, I know this isn't my imagination now. Why? Because faith gave me sight to see what's unseen. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I told you to leave my house. And when I went to go, and I walked right after that and opened my front door, and there was a snake, all red and colorful, right at my front door, and going, whoosh, whoosh. And he's looking at me, and I said, I told you, devil, to leave my property. If I'd have known then what I know now, he would have lost his head. Because I don't play games with snakes. They're the most cursed animal on earth. And when I catch, in fact, I ran one over today driving home, praise God. I said, oh, I'm talking to my wife on the phone. I said, hold on, there's a snake in the room. Yes. I was like, thank you, Lord. It's like bowling for snakes, you know. And so this thing, you know. And so anyways, my sister in Christ came over and I said, listen, you're not going to believe this, but I cast out a serpent, a snake out of this thing. She said, was it all red and had a reddish mouth and stuff? I said, yes. I thought she thought I was going to think I was nuts. She said, well, underneath that blue painting was a picture of one. I said, whoa, cursed items. That's when God started teaching me about accursed items and about how even though it's an inanimate object, Buddhas and pornography and gangster movies and certain music and all of this other stuff are accursed items and they carry demons. Why? Because the devil has a right to be there. I remember one time I was in, I didn't want to really get into all this, but anyways. I was waiting for court for this guy. I was representing him. And there's this kid jumping all over the place and in the hallway. I'm going, man, this kid's demonized. I mean, he was just vicious, jumping from, I mean, you know, he was old enough to know to sit down. He was jumping from furniture off the walls. I mean, man, I'm thinking, whoa, I didn't know if he was trying to play Spider-Man or something. But this kid was out there. I'm thinking, whoa, Lord. And he said, look what he's playing. I look and it said Pokemon. I said, Pokemon? I said, what's that? He said, it's a demonic game. In fact, it means pocket monster. And it's an accursed item. The kids that are playing that game are getting demonized all over the world. And then you got Harry Potter or whatever his name is. What's his name? Harry Potter? Harvey Potter? And people are, I mean, they're going, they're watching this, and they're loving it, and their kids are getting demon-possessed. It's not manifesting, so they think it's okay. I had one family bring me their kid in to my office and said, well, you don't know what to do with him. He acts like a devil all the time. I said, well, take off the Tasmanian devil shirt. Things maybe will change. See, people don't understand the unseen world. They have no awareness of it. They don't get it. Do you understand? But you as believers must never, never lose sight of the unseen world. Why? Because when things start really happening and the world is out there going in distress and don't know what to do, they're going to come to you. You're going to have to, God will strategically position you to rescue many of his children. Listen, what you're hearing going on right now, where is it, in UK? You ain't seen nothing yet. You don't think United States is untouchable? I hate to tell you, but it's very touchable. They're just waiting. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And you must be ready. It's going to happen. Oh, hallelujah. Faith is sight to what is unseen. Amen? Whew. Remember, many, many missed the visitation of the Lord Jesus when he came, didn't he? Amen? Would you go to Galatians 2, please? Is everybody okay? Oh, nobody ran out yet, so you must be all right. Galatians chapter 2. Hey, it's fun, man. Nothing greater. I'm telling you, ever since I got saved, I think the Lord bought sneakers for the angels on my behalf. Man, they'd be running, man. They'd be running. but we're running together. Amen. There's nothing greater than joy. Nothing worse than a miserable believer, right? Man, go home, get prayed, get delivered. Praise God. Galatians chapter 2, verse 1. Paul writes to the church in Galatia. And he says, then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and also took Titus with me. And when I went up by what? Revelation, in other words, revelation knowledge. In other words, Paul didn't move until Daddy told him to move. So he got a revelation or a visitation, either by a dream or by an angel or by praying in tongues, and got revelation knowledge into his spirit. And the Lord said, listen, I want you to go. And he went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And this occurred because of the false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by what? Stealth. In other words, undetected. To spy out our liberty or freedom, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into what? Bondage. To whom we did not yield submission, even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. In other words, he's saying, listen, they brought in and tried to bring us under the law and religion. They're trying to say, listen, look, we've been set free from all of the rules and rituals. And he said, listen, what are you doing? And he said, man, they need to be circumcised or they're not right. They're not saved. And Paul's going, what are you, crazy? That's not what's happening. We're free from all of that. We're free. Look at verse 6. But from those who seem to be what? Something, whatever they were, it makes no difference to me. God shows personal favoritism to no man. For those who seem to be something added nothing to me. In other words, they were undetected. You know how they got in? They lied. They lied. See, the powers of darkness penetrate the kingdom of light by lying. The believers penetrate the kingdom of darkness by humility. Now, that's why we have the gift of what? Discernment. So we can expose that which is lying. Because the Bible says you'll know them by their fruit. Does everybody understand that? You'll know them by their what? Fruit. Oh, hallelujah. When the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, I'll be standing there, somebody be talking to me, the Holy Ghost will say, he's lying. Okay, what you want me to do? Hear him out. Then just walk away. And then there's sometimes he'll tell me, expose him. Man, you be lying. No, I ain't lying. Yeah, you are. You're a liar. Don't tell me you're not lying. You're lying. How do you know I'm lying? Because I heard the Lord tell me you're a liar. Hallelujah. So they came in undetected by lying. Again, righteousness is undetected by the cloak of humility. Darkness always brings bondage. Brings religion to the believer, which brings bondage. It brings rebellion to the immature. And brings fear to the unstable. You want to repeat that? Darkness brings bondage of religion to the believer, rebellion to the immature, and fear to the unstable. Oh, hallelujah. So the first thing we know we must do is have a constant awareness of the unseen world. The second thing we must do is maintain a level of faith. Why? Because faith allows you to see. Oh, hallelujah. Ephesians 5, would you turn there for a moment, please? We won't be too long, about 40 more scriptures. I'm only kidding. My God. Are you having fun yet? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nothing worse than not having fun. Amen?
Whoa.
Jesus wants us to have fun, doesn't he? Amen? Praise God. And Ephesians 5 and verse 8, would you read it with me? For you were what? Once darkness, but now you are what? Light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and what? Truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with what? Unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Rather what? Expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are what? Made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep. Come on, it's time to wake up. Arise from the dead, you lazy thing. And Christ will give you what? Light. In other words, sight. He will give you what? Sight. Oh, hallelujah. The third thing we must know is his word. We must maintain an understanding of his word. The Bible says that many are tossed to and fro. Amen? Many people don't even read the word. They take what somebody says. And there's a lot of people that say a lot of things. Ain't nothing happening. Go to 2 John. What did I say, the third thing? The second was maintain a level of faith. Hallelujah. 2 John. Oh, praise God. 2 John. It's right after 1 John. Verse 7. Would you read it with me, please? For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil what? Deeds. So we must know the doctrine. Amen. We must have an understanding of the Word of God. The Word of God, this Bible is the Word of God. These are written testimonies. This is the voice of God that was recorded. Of course, we know that there's more because they couldn't record all that God has done or said. There wouldn't be enough room on the earth. Amen? But this is given to us sufficient enough. But then there's somewhere else where you can get more. Holy Ghost. He'll bring you more, man. He'll bring you into deep places you'd never realize. You know? That's why the Bible says the Spirit brings life and the letter what? Kills. Let's go to Galatians chapter 1. Praise you, Lord. Galatians chapter 1. In verse 6. Anybody there? Can you read it with me, please? I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a what? Different gospel. Which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? Or if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. A doctrine. You know, there are many pleasers of men. You can go to organized religion and get so organized that you become bound. Amen? Why? Let me tell you, from this pulpit, you're going to hear the truth. Because there's a relationship and a reverence to the King of Glory. I don't care whether you receive it or not. That's up to you. My responsibility is to declare the truth. And then you got to take it between you and Dad. Amen? Does everybody understand that? That's important. And this is how a believer is. Jesus didn't take no garbage. He called them hypocrites. Hello? He rebuked them. In fact, he said, look at you Pharisees and Sadducees. You come from the Father from beneath, and I come from the Father above. They were like, what do you mean? Oh, I thought our father was Abraham. He says, no, your father's the devil. Whoa. That mean we can't sit in the front seat of the restaurant anymore? We can't steal the people's taxes? We can't lie and cheat and manipulate people to get money? That's right. It's over with. Hypocrites, right? Jesus didn't take no garbage. He told them right out. Oh, hallelujah. Go to 1 John 3. So the first thing we must do is maintain a constant awareness of the unseen world. The second thing is maintain a level of faith. And the third thing is the what? Know His Word and His voice. It's important. 1 John 3. Is everybody there? I'm getting there. 1 John chapter 3. In verse 4, would you read it with me? Whoever commits sin also what? Commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. He who sins is what? Of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In other words, sin does not have dominion over you. It doesn't mean that you're not going to make a mistake. You might drop that hammer on your toe and go, oh, and say something and go, oh, Lord, forgive me. You know? Hello? Some people might do something goofy. Man, you know, I shouldn't have said that. Man, person upset me and I shouldn't have said that, Lord. I'm sorry. But you understand there's always a quick repentance because sin's not taking dominion over you. You know? When somebody offends you and hurts you, you forgive. Lord, forgive them. Oh, I'd like to kill them, but forgive them. Hello? See, because you're not going on how you feel or what you think should happen. You're doing what the Word of God says. Lord, bless them. Oh, hello? Bless them to death, Lord. Bless them. Yes. See, the Bible says that the devil comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Whoa. This is powerful. Well, then you know what? I believe the fourth thing you must know is who you labor with. You better know who you labor with. 2 Pete chapter 2. It's just for you. Praise you, Lord. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. You must know who you labor with. You know, you get a lot of people claiming their offices. Self-imposed offices. Hi, my name is Junior Barnes, and I'm a prophet from wherever, from nowhere land. I live in Granolaville. Yes, I'm nutty and fruity. And I have a word for you. Good, man. Lay down the wine and take the cigar out of your mouth and tell me what's happening. I'm telling you, there's a lot of goofies. And you got to know. You got to be able to discern, because you got to know who you're laboring with. Amen? In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, would you read it with me? But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring them on themselves swift destruction. And many will what? Follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. It's amazing what you're seeing now, because more things are being exposed, and especially organizations, because I can't call them the church because they don't have anything to do with it, that are promoting same-sex marriage. It's not even a, I mean, why, I don't understand. Why don't they just read the Word of God? You know, I want to send them a Bible. Hey, you know, you get some of these priests and so forth that, you know, I don't want to knock anybody. I'm just going to, and I'm not trying to, I just want to expose deception. Because it's not about, you know, organized religions. It's about individuals that are being deceived. Amen? And I remember on TV one day, I saw this guy, and I shared this with you. He was standing there, and he says, "Yes, I took an oath of poverty." I thought, what an idiot. Why would you take an oath of poverty when Jesus paid that price for you? He says, "I've come to bring you life and life abundantly, and you're going to be impoverished? So who are you going to feed, dude? How are you going to help anybody? Are you going to build an orphanage, be impoverished? Are you going to put clothes on the naked? Go to the prisons? Feed the hungry? Shelter the homeless? What are you going to do?" He says, "I took an oath to be impoverished, poverty." He was none but a prideful religious idiot. He can never penetrate the kingdom of darkness, but he can serve it in religion. Do you understand? And these are false boneheads. These are people that are taken by the spirit of error, which is associated with the spirit of Antichrist, to prevent the kingdom of God from expanding. That's their purpose. And they don't even know that. You know why? Because they never read the Word of God. But they're up there telling everybody about Jesus. You know what they're doing? They're preaching another gospel. Because they've never read it themselves. They might take a little glimpse. Yes, go to this. Thus says the Lord. And they don't even know what he said. I'll never forget one day, I went to this prophetic meeting, and there was this guy, and his wife was there, and he had a word for my wife, and I knew it was the Lord. I mean, his wife had a word for my wife. I knew it was the Lord. And then he tried to give a word for me. I thought, man, I don't need a word. But God, if you want to do it. And the guy said, "Grab my hand." And I said, "Okay." And so we were just, and he was praying. He said, "Oh, Lord, show me your servant," whatever, and this and that. And all of a sudden in the spirit, because faith allows you to what? See. I saw this white body in the back here going, walking right up to him and bending over and speaking in his ear. And the Lord said to me, "Do you want a word from that familiar spirit, or do you want a word from me?" I said, "What do I do?" He said, "Bind it." And I turned my head and went, "I bind that spirit in the name of Jesus." And the guy was going, squeeze my hand tighter. I thought, what's that got to do with a word from the Lord? I went, ay, 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 don't touch me. It's called mixed anointing. You know what he was? A granola. He was nutty and fruity. Oh, hallelujah. So you gotta be able to discern these things in the spirit. Amen? And the way you're going to discern them, the closer you get to Jesus, the more you'll be able to see. Why? Because your faith will be increased. The anointing will be increased. You're going to walk in peace, joy, and righteousness. You're not going to give a hoot what people care or would think. Because the only thing you're concerned about is what he thinks and what he cares. Amen? See, because, you know, there's too many people wanting to dress up. Let me see. I dress up like a preacher. Do I look like I'm dressed up like a preacher? There is no such thing as dressing up like a preacher. Hello? Paul said, I became many things that many could be what? Saved. It's got nothing to do with how you dress. I mean, you know, I don't want you to come in with no clothes on or anything like that, or short skirts and shirts all open, the guys trying to show their chest off and stuff like that. No, man, that's not what you do. You come in humble. You walk humble. You submit to all things. The Bible says submit to God, then you can resist the devil. You can't submit to God, you ain't resisting the devil. And that is the measure of how much you can resist. It's how much you submit. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? So you want to know who you what? Labor with. Ooh. Go to Galatians 3, please. Galatians chapter 3. We're almost done. 39 more. No. I'm sorry. I just have the joy of the Lord. I'm about to burst. Glory to God. Just lift your hands to heaven like I've been doing. Didn't see me going this, amen? Let's get a drink. Oh, I don't believe that. Well, it's too bad. I'll take yours then. I'll take yours, little flesh creature, you. Glory to God. Galatians chapter 3. Is that where I said to go? Are you sure? Oh, yeah, Galatians 3. Okay, I'm done. Galatians 3. Verse 26. Would you read it with me, please? For you are what? All sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you who were baptized in Christ put on Christ. That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost, not the baptism of water. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. In other words, he's saying, all right, sever all the culture. Whether you are Jew, whether you are circumcised, uncircumcised, sever everything. You are free in the anointing. Does everybody understand that? You are free because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Freedom. Amen. Because see, that's a personal relationship, isn't it? That's personal. So he says, come on, I'll just lay it. Now, verse 29, look at this. He says, if you are what? Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So when somebody asks you, okay, well, what's your faith? Well, I'm a Protestant. That's not faith. Well, I'm Baptist. That's not faith. Well, I'm Catholic. That's not faith. Well, I'm Pentecost. That's not faith. That's an organization. You are Christ. You are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Do you understand it? This has got nothing to do with labeling of worldliness and organizations. We do not promote denominations or non-denominations. We promote Christ Jesus crucified. Amen? We promote the presence of God and the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. Does everybody get it? It's important. So the fifth thing is you need to know who you are. Because if you don't know who you are in Christ, you will not be able to penetrate. You'll be so busy trying to believe who you are or promote who you are instead of being who you are. Has everybody got it? Oh, glory. I'm 1 John chapter 3. Man, I got so many scriptures, we could be here till tomorrow. But we won't. Okay? So don't panic. 1 John chapter 3. Oh, hallelujah! It's a good night to die. Praise you, Lord. Okay. All right. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise God. 1 John chapter 3. Are you there? First three verses. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called what? Children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. So don't worry if your neighbor don't know who you are. They don't know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not been yet revealed what we shall be. But when we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. Glory. We shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, and he is pure. So we need to know who we are, don't we? Amen? That's the fifth thing. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to cut this short. Glory to God. Aren't you glad? Second Timothy chapter 1. Oh, bless your holy name, my master. Bless your holy name. Second Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6 and 7. Would you read it with me? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Is everybody there? All right? Hang in there, we're almost done. Therefore, what? I remind you to what? Stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. What are you supposed to do? Stir it up. How do you stir it up? I love you, Lord. You worship. You pray in the Spirit. You stir it up. You don't do there and twiddle your thumbs. Oh, holier than thou. Oh, man. That's not stirring it up. That's deadening it up. Amen. Stir it up, man. Stir it up. Stir it up. Why? Look at verse 7. For God has not given you or given us a what? Spirit of what? Fear. But what? But what?
Power.
But what?
Power.
Power and love and of a sound mind. Wow. So you're stirring yourself up to what? Grab hold of God. And he grabs hold of you. It's like putting your finger in an outlet. Yeah, yes. You know? You want a touch? Praise God. Glory to God. Get shocked for Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is it hot in here or is it you? Glory to God. So we're to stir ourselves up. The Bible says, be not drunk on wine. That doesn't stir people up. It just gets them stupid. But be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Bible says, increase your most holy faith by praying in tongues. And if you don't have the gift, go get it. It's free. Well, there's a little price. You got to die. You got to get rid of your religiosity. And you got to know the truth. It might set you free. Something might actually happen to you. You could get healed. Hello? You can get delivered. You might even find a demon come out of you and your dog could fight it. It happened to me. This guy's nuts. You're absolutely right. I'm crazy for Jesus. If he came and visited you personally and his love radiated through you and ripped you apart and that snake come out of you and manifested and your 80-pound Doberman dog started fighting it and you went to the Lord like, whoa, what's this? And he said, that came out of you. And all of the earth and everything that he revealed to you about the rule of the world and darkness and began to speak to you and visit you on other occasions, you'd be like me. But he's not a respecter of person. He's looking for somebody and people that are thirsty and hungry and want to know him more than anything else in the world. It's not about how much you know, it's who you know. Amen? Oh, glory. So the sixth thing we need to do is what? Stir ourselves up. Why? Because we are the temple of the Most High God. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, do not defile this temple. Too many people defile the temple. Touching unclean things. Doing perverse things. Listen. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Ooh, hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1. You know, the Bible even tells us that the devil turns himself into an angel of light. And that he has righteous ministers that infiltrate the body of Christ. And they teach deception. See, you've got to be able to discern these things. It's not over with, people. Things are not going to get better, they're going to get worse. But for me and you, they're going to get better. But for the world, they're going to get worse. Amen. Remember, your fight yesterday was easier than today. And your fight tomorrow will be harder than it will be today. So you've got to stay filled. You know, Mr. Self is just going to have to be clogged, you know, all bound up, taped up, muscled up, and put in a closet. Because God does not associate with self. He associates with his children. The me, myself, and I syndrome is going to have to go. We must decrease that he could what? Increase. Oh, hallelujah. First Colossians. Hallelujah. Colossians. I know it's in here somewhere. I remember when the first time I saw it, I thought it meant Colossians. 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 Everybody there? Chapter 1 and verse 24. Praise God. Everybody there? Let's read it together. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. The mystery which has been hidden from the ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. The seventh thing is, you must be willing to accept the mission that he has given you and complete it. Everybody got it? You must be willing to accept the mission that he's given you and complete it. And I'm going to close at Galatians chapter 5. Hallelujah. You can go home and eat your popcorn and watch your favorite movie. All right, not all of you. Who told me that, right? Who told you that? Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, somewhere around there. Let me see, am I in the right place? Nope. Okay. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me? I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When you are walking in the Spirit, you are walking in faith. The Bible says we do not walk by sight, but we walk by faith. So if you are walking in the Spirit, according to the guidelines of the kingdom of God, walking in faith, you are not fulfilling your flesh, your desires, or the will of darkness. Me, myself, and I has just been put on your feet and made into a sneaker. And you need to just bind it up, keep it tight down there, and don't take it off. Amen? Verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish or desire. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I've told you beforehand, just as I also told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Amen? Let me repeat these seven to you. The first one, what are we doing? We want to be able to penetrate darkness, the kingdom of darkness. What do? We must maintain a constant awareness of the unseen world. We must maintain a level of faith, right? We must know the Word of God and be able to discern it. Amen? We must know who you labor with. You must know who you are. You must stir yourself up and be willing to accept the mission or commission that God has given you to do and complete it. Amen? Praise God. Lord, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. I apply the blood of Jesus upon the seed that's been imparted. I pray it will grow and bear fruit for your glory. If there be any conviction, Lord, I ask that you grant repentance. Lord, I send your word to each and every one in here that by the stripes of Jesus they be made whole. Lord, whatever their need is, Lord, I'm asking that you'll meet it according to your riches and glory. Visit them in dreams and visions. Establish them for your glory and send them for your glory. Now I bless each and every one in here. Lord, be magnified in our lives. In Jesus' name.